Okay, church. Church. There we are. Ooh. All right. Find your really cushiony seats. I'm not going to let this get out too far and wide, but the seats here are amazing. And not so much at Maine. We had so much fun last week having our campuses together and having the picnic afterwards, that we started thinking about how we might do that and bring the party here. See, we have more seats that we could fill up, so we could do it a little more comfortably. And we have like 200 seats here that we've never set up, if you can imagine. So I think we would all fit. So stay tuned. We may bring the party to East. It's really hard to describe to people from our main campus who've not been here what it's like. And we've thought about live streaming back and forth and giving each other a little picture of what it is at our respective campuses. But maybe the better way is to just show up and worship together here. So stay tuned. All right, my name is Merle Shank. I'm the lead pastor, and it's my privilege to give a message on the Holy Spirit. The series has been called It's Better This Way. That's our sermon series, 7 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to conclude this series on the Holy Spirit. Then next week there's going to be a message on Father's Day, a special message. I believe JJ is bringing it here. And then we'll begin our summer series on the book of Psalms. And we're going to cover all 150 Psalms in 7 weeks. Forgive me, Lord. We're going to cover selected Psalms in our summer series, but it's going to be powerful, and we're really looking forward to that. Okay, so the Holy Spirit concludes today, and for those of you who know this, the day that is celebrated all through the body of Christ today is called Pentecost. And we're going to go look at that word in Acts chapter 2 here in a moment. But before we get there, let's talk about today's title for this message. Now, I liked this title so much that Catherine made for her message over at Main Campus. I just lifted it from her. And the title, went too far. The title is Don't Do It Yourself. So that's the rage on reality TV right now, is the do-it-yourself shows where in the space of 45 minutes, your house looks like a train wreck when it starts, and by the end, everybody's wanting to buy your house and live in it with you because it's so beautiful. And so it's amazing the transformation that happens in these homes in the course of one TV show. And I want you to know that the transformation that happens in our own lives way outshines those TV shows. It just takes a little more than 40 minutes. Are you okay with that? The powerful, transforming work of God in our lives will finish everything that He started. It just takes a little longer. Okay, a lot longer. Yeah. All right, so don't do it yourself. Don't try to remodel your house all by yourself. Or this past week, we had the privilege of helping a couple people move from one home to a new home, new to them home. And so Tuesday, a group of about a dozen of us moved this family in. And within an hour and a half, we had unloaded a really massive truckload of stuff. And the best thing about it was they were a sweet couple, very sincere, very, very, very sincere Christians. And half of their boxes were liquor boxes that we lifted off of that truck. We'll leave them nameless now so we don't embarrass them. I've never seen so many liquor boxes in my life. And we didn't open them to see what was in them. I'm sure it was home furnishing. So we, a dozen of us or so, emptied a huge truck and put it in the house in the space of 90 minutes. Last night, Sue and I were with a friend, helped her move into her two-bedroom apartment. Seven other folks jumped in, and within a couple hours, she was all moved. You don't want to move on your own. Can Can you imagine emptying one of those box trucks all by yourself? Like, for days you'd be doing that. And you wouldn't be happy or encouraged. Don't do moves by yourself. Don't do life by yourself. Don't walk with Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's where we're going. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The passage is on your screen, and this is the Passion Translation. So I'll read it off the screen, and then we'll pray. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into, filling, the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you take your word that we've just read and make it come alive in each one of us. Lord, there's certain things I feel prompted to emphasize, but would you take your living word and bring every aspect of it alive in the hearts and spirits of your people here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is God. That was part of our introductory series. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and it's a mystery. You can go back and listen on the web if you want some of those introductory messages. The Holy Spirit has all kinds of other names that describe some of the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Amplified Version of John chapter 4, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby." Can you see why it's the Amplified Version? Yes. All of those names, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I've told you. Jesus says the Holy Spirit, with all of those names, the Helper, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, he will teach you what's true, and he'll remind you of everything that I taught you. So if we grasp something new while I'm preaching this morning, we can give credit to the Holy Spirit because he's the one who helps us embrace truth. He's the one who reminds us of all that Jesus taught us. So don't try to be a follower of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. On this day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a pretty interesting word. Pentecost may not mean anything to you. It may be the first time you're seeing this word. Pentecost to evangelical Christians would be synonymous or be known as the birth of the Christian church. It's when the church was launched from the testimony and the preaching of the disciples. So for evangelical Christians, Pentecost was the birth of the church that we're a part of today. For charismatics, it's the birth of the church, but it's way more. It's wind, and it's fire, and it's tongues, and it's a party. And that's where we get our Pentecostalism denominations. It's the root Pentecostal denominations really track their roots to this event. And the more wind and the more fire and the more tongues there are, the more amazing church is for Pentecostals. So Pentecost meant something to evangelical Christians. Pentecost means something to charismatics that's kind of like church plus all of the techno. And then for the people that Jesus was ministering to, the Jewish people, for the people that Luke, the author of this book, is writing to and about, Pentecost meant something entirely different that most of us don't even know. Pentecost is this word for 50. And so I put a slide up and you can follow along. Pentecost is also, it was a festival that the Jewish people knew. And it was known as the Feast of Weeks. And so what would happen is at the beginning of the barley wheat harvest, the very first sheaves of wheat they would take and they would wave as an offering. And then 50 days later, they would celebrate pretty much the completion of the harvest of wheat. And they would do so by bringing an offering to the temple, bringing an offering to the tabernacle. And so it was this really remarkable agrarian festival that the Jewish people celebrated every year, and it was tied to the harvest. And because it was tied to the harvest, it was a celebratory festival. It was joyful. They were celebrating God's amazing provision. So for Pentecost, what the people of Israel, the people of Jewish descent, understood, they understood it as a celebration, and they understood it as a party, and they would come to the temple and bring an offering. And that, when we look at the context of Acts chapter 2, is why there were so many people in Jerusalem. And there were so many people in Jerusalem 50 days earlier because they were celebrating Passover. And Jesus came into Jerusalem at Passover, where they would celebrate that event in Egypt where God delivered his people out of slavery, and everyone who had the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of their home that night was preserved and life was given, and everyone who didn't, there was someone in their home who died. And so Passover was this amazing festival that brought everyone into Jerusalem. And the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, brought everybody into Jerusalem. And so Jesus, in the Old Testament, there was this type of Jesus, which is Passover, where a spotless, pure lamb would be sacrificed for the sins of the people. And now Jesus became the once-for-all sacrifice. And so Passover had all of this deep meaning for Jewish people, and Pentecost had all this deep meaning. And it's amazing how Jesus sends the promised Holy Spirit to them in the middle of their festival, and he becomes the life and the provision that they celebrate. The Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost was really significant for the Jewish people. Take a picture of that slide. If you didn't get anything I said, maybe the slide's better. All right, so Pentecost meant something different to the Jewish people, but from this Pentecost forward, it totally changed the meaning. The Christian believers now saw it as the launching of the church and saw it as receiving the gift of the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus told them, don't go out, don't leave Jerusalem without the Holy Spirit. And here in these four verses, the Holy Spirit comes. All right, let's go. Well, what else do I want to say? Go back to the Acts 2 slide. I highlighted two areas, or actually I should say I bolded. In verse 2 it says, suddenly they heard the sound of a blast of wind rushing into, filling, some versions, the New International Version, the New Living Version says, filling the house from the heavenly realm. And then verse 4, they, the disciples, those gathered, were filled. So they were filled. I want, as I read these four verses and meditated on these four verses, there's a couple things I really want to highlight for you. Number one is, when Pentecost happened, when the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit came, people knew it happened. They knew it. They knew the Holy Spirit had come into their lives. Okay? So it was obvious. There were all kinds of evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. So, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, I want us to realize, I want us to be encouraged, you'll know it. When the Holy Spirit fills your life, you will know it. These people knew that something that had never happened to them before had just happened. Second thing is, and if you read verses 5 and following, we don't have time for that, but the whole community looking on recognized that something had just happened. If you have wind coming through and about blowing the house down, and if you have a pillar of fire coming and then tongues of fire coming out of that and coming over people's heads, people know something's going on. Right? Now, this is probably the most dramatic manifestation of the Holy Spirit being poured out in all of Acts. But in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 8, with the Samaritans, where Philip shared the word, and then they were filled the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius, the centurion, when Peter came and visited his home, and he started telling them about Jesus, the Holy Spirit was poured out on that. And the Romans in that home knew they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples who were observing what had just happened knew it. When the Holy Spirit pours himself out, we know it, and the people around us know it. It isn't a wonder. Okay? You can, in faith, you can know that you're different, and people observing and knowing you. Okay? So that's one key. All right, this word filled. There are two different Greek words for filled here in this passage. In verse 2, there's a Greek word. In verse 4, there's a Greek word. I'm butchering the pronunciation, but it was plero, I think, in verse 2, and pletho in verse 4. Something like that. Two different Greek words. The Greek word used in verse 2 means an inward filling. The people had an inward filling for their lives. The verse 4 filling word talks about an outward flow, an outward filling. And this is such a beautiful thing, and I'm going to move on to say a little more about this when we look at the next passage. But the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is an inward thing that gives us an assurance of faith and gives us an intimacy in our relationship with God, and he does all kinds of transformation in our lives, and that moves us to an outward filling which flows into ministry where the body of Christ is built up, the gifts are poured out, the fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated in our lives. It's a beautiful thing. God is like, he's the ultimate multitasker, yeah? So God is busy filling us in a way that transforms and changes us for his glory, and he's busy filling us in a way that spills out and changes the people around us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with the gift of faith, with the gift of healing, with the gift of discernment, with the gift of prophecy. All of these gifts are for building up the body of Christ and others, okay? So in this little passage, you are if we were Greek literate, somebody in here probably is. It's not me. But if we understood the Greek, there is this remarkable infilling in our lives and this amazing outward filling that flows out into the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, did we get that? This is my message right here. I might have to repeat it again until I get more head nods. It's amazing. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives, we know it, and people around us will observe it and see the evidence of it. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives, he does an inward work in us that is so precious and so life-giving and so intimate. And he does a work that flows out of our lives and impacts and builds up and blesses the body of Christ and the community around us. And if we go on and read through Acts 2, you know, all of these amazing things happen to these people, but towards the end of Acts chapter 2, it said they started living life differently. They started spending time always in one another's homes, and they would share their lives, they would share God's word and study it together, and they would share prayer, and they would share food and meals together, and when somebody had a need, they would just open up their purses and spontaneously give generously to provide for whatever need people had. It was not institutional church. It wasn't go to the temple and do what the priest says. It was life spilling out home by home, and the body of Christ experienced a new community of faith that everybody looking around was like, whoa. I'm excited. I'm getting a couple head nods. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives and transforms us, it will impact the way we live life to a degree that other people say, what's going on? When I got filled with the Holy Spirit as a college freshman, and then my other college buddies came back from the different places they were in college, they were like, what's going on, Merle? I was a different guy. They noticed it. My closest friends who had been away for school were like, what's going on? I started telling them about the Holy Spirit, and they were a little freaked. Which is okay. They were hungry for a real relationship and real life with God themselves. Okay. It changes us, and we know it. People observe a difference. The filling of the Holy Spirit does an inward work, and it spills out of us, impacting others. All right. So I was doing some devotional reading in the past week, and I was reading a couple Old Testament. I'm in one of these Bible reading plans on YouVersion. You all should download. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, download YouVersion and then pick one from 1,000 different plans. It's amazing. And it keeps track of your progress and cheers you on when you're on track and encourages you to catch up when you get behind. All of that on a little phone app. It's amazing. YouVersion. I could do commercials. Brought to you by YouVersion. Okay. So I'm reading through my Bible plan, and it has a couple Old Testament readings, and it has a New Testament reading. And I landed in Ephesians in my New Testament reading, and here's the passage that stood out to me. So let's go to, there we go. This is Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 13, and we're going to read about six verses, so hang with me. Ephesians chapter 1. You can find it on your YouVersion app, or you can find it with your traditional Bible. All right. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Isn't that, whoa. How many people do you know in your life who accomplish every plan and purpose in their heart? We know one. His name is Jesus. This is so good. He gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan his heart. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you who are not Jews... Now, there might be someone who have of Jewish descent in the house. If you are, God bless you. You got the good news first. Now we all have the good news. And this is us, verse 13. And because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Here's the first little picture Paul gives us of what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are stamped with a seal. This is old-time stuff. I've seen pictures of it. You put this hot wax on a document, and then you get a seal, and you seal it, and it makes it legit. It makes it for real. It's a pretty cool thing. We have been stamped by the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed and stamped. That's the first picture Paul gives us. All right. Then, verse 14, another picture. He, the Holy Spirit, is given to us like an engagement ring. Like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. Whoa. This one here blesses me so much, I got to pause and we'll pick it up later. Here's another picture. He is our hope. He's the promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. So he has a picture of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives being like an engagement ring being given to a bride, and we have a picture of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as an inheritance of all that is promised to come. What is the promised work of redemption? Well, Jesus, when he came and he read from the scroll in Isaiah, he said these things. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Those are all aspects of redemption's promises. We will have eternal life with Christ. Yes, we're going to live for eternity when we are stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's really good news. But we don't have to wait for eternity to start living in the promises of redemption. We start experiencing freedom. Freedom from sin. Set prisoners free. Addicted are freed. That's good news. Like we will be healed completely in heaven. We will be totally free of addiction in heaven. We don't have to wait for heaven because of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting really blessed. Here's another amazing thing. Verse 15. Because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. Verse 15 is another evidence that these people were so transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives that Paul's hearing about it from prison, and he's celebrating in the good things that God is doing. Can't believe it's already 11. Yay. All right. Let me get to my summary slide here. Oh, final good news. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. His prayer would be that the Holy Spirit, who has stamped them and sealed them as his own, would bring revelation, bring understanding, bring wisdom, that their intimacy, their love would deepen. See, it's these two things again. He wants a relationship with you, church, that is deeper and more intimate than anything you've imagined or experienced yet. And he wants the Holy Spirit's work in your life to reveal that to you so that you will flourish in your relationship with him and it will overflow into ministry to others. Okay? If you want more of the Holy Spirit's power in your life, if you want more of the Holy Spirit's gift of prophecy in your life, if you want more of the Holy Spirit's gift of wisdom and discernment in your life, deepen your intimacy with him. And the Holy Spirit's what does that. Okay. Summarize time. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we know we're different. Others notice we're different. We receive an inward grace that deepens our intimacy and love for God. We receive an outward grace that empowers us to live with more faith and love that manifests itself through boldness, power to witness, signs and wonders, miracles of all kinds. Before the Pentecost event, before the filling of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were scared and running for cover. And afterwards, they were standing up in front of opposition, preaching, telling people about Jesus and getting thrown in jail, praying themselves out of jail, worshiping themselves out of jail, and going back and talking about Jesus right where they left off. They were totally different people. If we want those outward graces of God to flourish, we also will invest our lives on the inward grace, that intimacy, that love relationship. It happens. He fills us for both reasons. I hope this is coming through. Okay. We've been giving you a bunch of different resources. We gave books away. Here are my favorite resources for learning and growing in the Holy Spirit. We have a brochure that we'll make available later called The Holy Spirit, Baptism in the Holy Spirit. We have a Work of the Holy Spirit worksheet. Did you get these when you came in? Yeah? See all the work that the Holy Spirit does on our behalf? He does a lot of heavy lifting for you and me. We just believe it and receive it. So those are two resources. Read the whole book of Acts. Then there's three books by Jack Hayford, Francis Chan. Those are all great resources. Okay. We all learn in different ways, and different things stick with us. There's a word picture of our inheritance. There's a word picture, a metaphor of the wax seal that has been stamped that Paul talked about. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, claiming us as our own, as his own. Some of those connect with us. Some of those don't. When I've tried to illustrate the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives, I don't know where I picked this up, but years ago I saw an illustration about water. I love water. So here's one illustration for some of you. This will really connect. So imagine, so this is a really groovy sponge that you would use to wash your car. Back when we had kids at home, we used to use sponges to wash our car. Now that all our kids have left, we don't wash our car anymore because it wasn't us washing our car. It was our kids doing it. Okay? But so we have this sponge, and if I were to take this dry sponge and start washing the car, I would not get any real good results, would I? A dry sponge does nothing. It's kind of like if you were trying to wipe off the kitchen table with a dry sponge. It just kind of grinds stuff into the table. It doesn't do any cleaning. Now, if I were to take this sponge and imagine this is my life, and this is the Holy Spirit gets referred to as water, as oil, as wind, as fire, all these different elements. So here's my life, pretty worthless at cleaning a car, dry. And then you put water on it. Good thing I'm not doing two services. Okay, so now this sponge is wet. And it would be very effectual. It would work well at cleaning a car or a table right now. Would you agree? So it's wet. It is filled with the Holy Spirit. It is filled with water. That's really good. And it will work. Okay? Is that a good picture? Now, the amazing thing is sponges are a lot like our lives. There's wet, and then there's wet. You know? Like this sponge, I have some water in it, but this sponge can hold a whole lot more water than I just put in. Pouring on. But if I'm baptized in water, if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, now that's wet. It was wet before and would have worked, but it really works now. Do you get that? And when you have a really wet life that's really full of the Holy Spirit, it gets on people. Right? I didn't bring towels. Isn't that beautiful? That's a picture. And the beautiful thing, all through Acts, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Because our lives are a lot like this sponge. It comes out of us, but it's very receptive to being filled again. That's our life. Holy Spirit water, our life sponge. Is that a picture that helps you? Okay. Here's another one. So 2 years ago, I don't know how I went through life as a homeowner without a leaf blower, but I got one now. And so 2 years ago, I got this leaf blower, and this leaf blower primarily blows maple helicopters out of my gutter. I do blow some grass clippings. I do blow some leaves around, but every year, just in the last month, all of our maple trees lose all of their seed pods into our gutter. And so I got this leaf blower. And so a leaf blower, you know, our life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to clear a gutter without a leaf blower. And then you have a leaf blower, and you can pull the trigger, and you can stand on the top step of a stepladder, because you're not supposed to do that. That's why you do that. So you step on the top step of, and then you reach up and you pull the trigger and you start blowing leaves out. And when I pull that trigger, it blows about 6 feet out. Well, I got about 30 feet of gutter. And so 6 feet of gutter clear. Then I move that ladder and I clear. And then I move that ladder. But if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit, you can stand down there at the end of the house and you can hit the turbo button. That's why I have this leaf blower. It has a turbo button. It has a Holy Spirit button. So I'm standing on the end of the gutter, and I'm pointing it, and I do this. And when I do this, literally, I came off my ladder because I was balanced. And when that turbo button hit, I didn't have to move my ladder. I cleared the whole length of the gutter with turbo power. Why would you want to do life without turbo? Why would we want to follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit? It makes no sense. Okay? So thank you, Shay. I'm not bothered about being wet, but maybe Andre and Bert, I don't know.
We're good.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. Do we have a few more minutes? So both of those illustrations talk about the outward work of the Holy Spirit through our lives, right? Cleaning a car with a wet sponge works really better than cleaning a car with a dry sponge. That's a work, outward expression of the Holy Spirit. So what really captured my attention as I was reading this in the Passion, if we go back to that slide with Ephesians 1, verse 11, no, Ephesians 1, verse 14. It said, the Holy Spirit, if you can get me that slide, that would be great, Christy. Yeah, He, the Holy Spirit, is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. This is a beautiful picture of this inward filling of the Holy Spirit. We sang this morning, the King of Kings calls me His own. When He fills us with the Holy Spirit, He's saying to everyone who recognizes, they're mine. This one's mine. I wear a wedding band. Tells people, I'm taken. I'm Sue's. She wears a wedding band. She wears an engagement ring. So engagement. Engagement is this beautiful, beautiful thing. We're going to do this real quick. Work with me, babe. I didn't really tell you about this one. So 31 years ago, she's on vacation at Hilton Head in Savannah, and I'm in love, and everybody knows it. And come hold my hand. So we're walking because I did 24 hours straight through work. I only did one 24-hour all the way through in college, and it nuked me, and I never tried it again. But I needed to finish a project so that I could get on my flight and get down to Savannah and spend the day with Sue. So we're walking through Savannah, and it's a beautiful day. And we get to this park, and it's Forsyth Park, and it's April 18th, to be exact. And on April 18th and 4th? 8th, thank you.
It's really exact, it was the 8th.
She's always so precise about everything. And so it's April 8th, and we're walking in Forsyth Park, and it's beautiful further south, and everything's blooming, and the flowers are gorgeous, and I'm like, I need to propose to this woman. And so while we're walking, I stop her, Forsyth Park, all the beautiful flowers, and I say, will you marry me? And you say,
are you serious?
Yeah. And then I slip a ring on her finger, and then we walk. See? Okay, back to your seat, gorgeous. So, she did say, are you serious? I did not slip a ring on her finger because I wasn't prepared to propose to her. I hadn't talked to her dad. I didn't know what ring size she was. I did not have my act together. But I knew I wanted to marry her, and we had a moment. I didn't think there would be another more beautiful moment, so I went for it. And so then I called her dad later. He said yes. I was like, good, because she said yes. And then we went ring shopping, and it was when she got the engagement ring on her finger back home weeks later that, have you ever seen an engaged woman who's showing people her ring? Like our daughter-in-law did it a couple years ago, and they just glow. Yep. Yep. They praise worship. And I was one proud man because she was wearing the ring that said, "She's mine. Get in line." Well, get out of line, guys. It's over. Right? When we know we are loved and we have been marked by that love and we are claimed, it does something to us. It deepens our love and intimacy. And it says that the engagement ring is just an installment of the intimacy and the love that's coming. It's just the first part. Folks, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, God is saying to all of creation, that person, that's my girl, that's my boy, they're mine. I'm proud of them. I'm in love with them. Their destiny is secure. We're going. And I didn't know as an engaged guy all of the amazing stuff that was to come. And there is this power and this unity when Sue and I are on the same page that is crazy. When we agree on things in prayer, look out. When she and I are on different pages, oof. We had one of those weeks, didn't we, babe? This week was not one to write in the journal about. But what's true is we are one flesh. And what's true is you are sons and daughter of the Most High. And when He poured out His Spirit and when He fills you, He puts a seal on your life. He puts an engagement ring on your finger and says, "You are mine, and we're going to have incredible intimacy and love for the rest of our lives." Don't you want that? I do, in deeper and deeper ways. Let's stand, if you would, please. Worship team can come on up. God the Father loves you and me so much that He sent Jesus to save us and redeem us. And He sent the Holy Spirit to fill us and transform us, to stamp us, to seal us, to claim us as His own. God loves us as we can be. When God looks at your and my life, He sees the finished work of Jesus. When God looks at you and me, He sees the destiny that He has committed to fulfill over every one of our lives. He loves us so much that He loves us right where we are right now, and He loves us so much that He doesn't allow us to stay where we are right now because we're incomplete, we're in process. He loves us so much, He embraces us totally as we are, and He loves us so much, He's committed to our transformation. And He does it by filling us with His Holy Spirit. So I want to make two invitations this morning, and then we'll wrap it up. One invitation is to begin your faith journey with God by being a child of God, by following Jesus. It says if we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we become sons and daughters of God. So our faith journey begins with a confession of faith in Jesus. And so that's the first invitation. Our faith journey continues by being filled with the Holy Spirit, where He stamps us, He seals us, He claims us as His own, where He fills us, that our intimacy and our relationship would deepen, where He deals with all of the baggage that's in our life, and then He empowers us to share the good news of what He's doing in our life with everyone else we meet, everywhere we go. So there'll be two invitations, and we're going to pray out loud all together in the first invitation, and then I'll just pray a prayer for you in the second invitation if you want to be filled, okay? So you can close your eyes. We're all going to pray this together. After we pray these prayers, Sue's going to come up and close the meeting by collecting Connect cards and handing out some brochures. So hang tight. Here's our prayer that we're all going to pray together. for salvation. Our Heavenly Father, I know my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. Please forgive me and help me leave my sinful life. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins and rose from the dead. I ask you, Jesus, to be Savior and Lord of my life from this day forward. Thank you for new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if that was the first time you prayed that in faith, then you're a son or a daughter. You're a child of God, and that's something to celebrate. Now, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you would like to be more than a dry sponge or a leaf blower without a turbo button, if you would like to walk in all that God has for you, then I just invite you. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. You can just open your hands up. You can cup your hands in front of you. You can hold them out. You can go overhead. You can be as Pentecostal as you want. I'm going to just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we're gathered together in your name. Would you do this morning what you have done for centuries and generations? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? We ask you to fill us, baptize us. And as you fill us, we believe that you will transform us. And as you fill us, we believe that you will empower us. And as you fill us, we believe you will give gifts to each of us according to your will. I pray that we are filled and overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that our love and intimacy with you will deepen day by day. I pray that we are filled with power, with gifts, with fruit, that will build your church, bring your kingdom, and bring glory to your great name. Fill us with more of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.